From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open this hour of old-time radio with an episode of Amos and Andy. The series premiered on NBC Radio in 1928, created by Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll, who did most of the voice work for the series. Although the series was immensely popular during radio and television's golden ages, Amos and Andy has since gone on to become quite controversial, mainly due to the stereotypical portrayal of African Americans in the series. I present this episode of Amos and Andy on the Upstate Radio Theater not because I condone such stereotypes. I do not. However, it is my firm belief that the Upstate Radio Theater can be and should be a program of education as well as entertainment. Whether we like it or not, there were some aspects of the golden age of radio which were not very pleasant. I think it's important to present these aspects from time to time so that we may learn from our history and ensure that this aspect of history does not repeat itself in future generations. With that in mind, we present this episode of Amos and Andy from November 10th of 1944 on NBC with special guests Jack Benny and Rochester Anderson. It's The Employment Agency.
See what I mean? Rinso White, that's what I mean. Rinso gets clothes, Rinso White.
Say, Andy, where has you been for the last couple of days?
Oh, Amos, I tell you, the Kingfish and me has been up to our ears in work. We have just incorporated our new business.
Our new business?
That's right, son. Today is the grand opening of our employment agency. Oh, I'm telling you.
The makers of Rinso bring you the Amos and Andy Show with their guests for tonight, Jack Benny and Rochester. If you're ever in Montclair, New Jersey, and you hear a policeman's whistle that goes like this, it'll most likely belong to Officer William Howell. You've probably seen his picture in a Rinso ad. You see, Mrs. Howell whistles while she washes with Rinso, and Officer Howell has gotten used to hearing the Rinso whistle around the house, as he puts it.
Well, you'll have to ask a missus if you want all the dope. All I know about Rinso is that it sure gets my shirts white.
Sure, that's because Rinso gets out more dirt. Try it yourself, ladies. And now, here are Amos and Andy and their guests, Jack Benny and Rochester. The best way to avoid having to take a job is to make sure that someone else gets it. And evidently, Andrew H. Brown and George Kingfish Stevens subscribe to this theory, because they have recently opened an employment agency. As we find them now, they're talking over the prospects of their latest enterprise.
Well, then, there you is. The papers is all drawn up for a new corporation. Now, the only thing left is to find a name for a business. And I think I already got that. Stevens and Company Employment Agency.
Now, hold on a minute, Kingfish. Hold on. What is that Stevens and Company? I thought we were supposed to be 50-50 partners in this.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Andy, since the employment agency business was your idea, I figures to make you the most important partner. That's why I make you the company.
Company, huh? Did that make me the most important?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, but wait a minute, though. If I is only called company, how is people going to know which company I is? Mm-hmm. For example, how will they know I ain't the company at the end of Sears Roebuck Ann?
They can't miss. After all, ain't you a big white-collar executive who... Say, wait a minute. Ain't that Amos and his taxi cab driving up and just stopped in front there?
Yeah, that's Amos, all right. Yeah, and here he come with some fancy-dressed fella I never did see before. Hello there, Amos. Hello.
Well, hiya there, fellas. Glad I found you, and I want to introduce you to a fella who just come to town. Brother Stevens and Brother Brown, shake hands with Mr. Rochester.
Glad to know you, gentlemen. Glad to know you.
Fellas, I was just driving Mr. Rochester down to his boss's hotel, and I dropped by in here because he thinks maybe he'd like to join the lodge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wants to join the lodge, huh? Yeah, well, Mr. Rochester, this is just the right time for joining, because the initiation fees has just been reduced for one day only to $3. You has got $3, would you, Angel?
Well, to tell the truth, what I got happens to be just a little short of $3.
How short?
$3.
Well, you see, fellas, Rochester tells me the man he's working for is a little stingy.
A little stingy? Why, my boss is the only man I know who laundries his pipe cleaners.
if you ain't happy with your boss, you are certainly looking at the right men to get you a better paying job. What kind of work do you do?
I'm called a valet. I do the laundry, the cleaning, the cooking. I mow the lawn, wash the dishes, drive the car, shine the shoes, press the clothes, and other various miscellaneous sundries.
You do all that and they still call you a valet?
Yeah, any resemblance between my title and the work I gotta do is purely coincidental and backbreaking. And all that work for $10 a week, if he picks up my next option.
Well, now, tell you what, you fill out this application blank here. Now, suppose we could get you a job with less work and more pay. Would you be interested?
There's no question about that, Brother Stevens. I'm so tired of having a job where the pay rattles that if you can get me one where the pay rustles, I'm your man.
Tell you, Rochester, I just won't stand for it anymore. Showing up 5 hours late. Always going to Harlem to shoot dice wearing my clothes. By the time I get them back, I'm standing up straight, but my pants are kneeling. Is that the way to act? Well, answer me. Well, go on. Oh, you can't. No wonder you have no answer. But I've got one. I'm firing you. And don't think I wouldn't just because you've been with me 8 years. That doesn't mean a... All right. Those tears aren't going to help you. This time you've gone too far. You're fired, I tell you. Fired. Good thing Rochester isn't here. He might have quit. But wait a minute. Why do I put up with Rochester? Why don't I really fire him? I'll do it. I'm going out and find an employment agency right now.
Well, here we is, Rochester.
Thank you, Amos, for driving me all the way downtown to my boss's hotel.
I say, Rochester, the doorman's coming over here. He must be looking for you.
Yeah. You looking for me, doorman?
Yes, and your boss is looking for you. He's been looking for you for the last 5 hours.
Uh-oh. Where's my boss now?
I just saw him in the lobby.
Oh, that's all right, then. I'll go in through the side door and pick up his suit I left to be pressed.
Say, Rochester, I thought you said that you pressed all of your boss's suits yourself.
I do when he wears them, but when I wear them, I want them done right. Well, goodbye, Amos. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, so long, Rochester.
Hey, buddy, you don't have to pull out. You can pick up a fare right here at the hotel taxi stand.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Doman. Thanks very much. Thank you, sir.
Oh, taxi.
Taxi right here, sir. Where to, sir?
Say, do you happen to know of a good employment agency up in Harlem?
Yes, sir. A couple of friends of mine runs one.
Hey, that's great. How much will you charge to drive me just a few little blocks like that?
Well, it ain't exactly a few little blocks from 48th Street up to 135th Street, mister. But the charges is just what it say on the meter there.
Oh, well, all right. But isn't it the same price for one passenger as it is for a cab full?
Oh, yes, sir. One of five make no difference in the rate, no, sir.
Well, in that case, listen, driver.
Yeah.
Or the best you can, you know.
Yeah, sir.
Anybody need a cab going to Harlem? Anybody going to 110th Street? This cab goes right by 96th Street, 72nd Street.
59th Street? Too bad it isn't raining.
Tells you, Andy, the disemployment agency is going to be the best venture we done ever ventured into.
Yeah, we ought to do big things with this new client, Rochester.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. Say, wait a minute. Look like somebody coming in here, Andy.
Excuse me, is this Stevens and Company?
Yes, sir. Come right in. You was talking to Stevens.
And Company. Put our card in your pocket, mister.
Yes, I suppose you was in the market to engage some help.
Well, yes, I'm looking for a valet.
A valet? Well, if there's one thing this office has got, mister, it's a valet.
Yeah, that's the one thing, all right.
Well, that's very nice. How much does this man get?
Well, the man we has got in mind gets $12 and a half.
$12 and a half? Isn't that a little over ceiling?
Of course you understand that is the full valet and price. That even includes buttoning up your vest for you.
Well, you see, fellas, I'm very warm-blooded. I never wear a vest.
Yeah, I don't, huh?
Never wear a vest. Well, that cuts down to work, all right. I guess it ought to cut down the price, too, huh, King Fish?
Oh, yeah, with only the coat and pants, we can cut the price to 12 flat.
Well, to tell the truth, boys, I'm more than just warm-blooded. In fact, I'm inclined to be just a teensy bit hot-blooded. So half the year, I don't even wear a coat.
Yeah, well, with only the pants left on, I guess we can settle for $11.50.
Yeah, there's one good thing, Kingfish. He can't get any more hot-blooded than the coat and vest.
I guess he got to stop there already.
Then it's settled. When can this man of yours start?
Yeah, well, we ain't exactly sure. But if you just write your name and phone number down on this application card here, why, we'll get in touch with you.
Yeah. There you are. And I'll be expecting to hear from you.
Oh, yes, sir, mister. Yes, sir. We is getting right on the ball.
Now, so long, boys. Don't let me down.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Say, Andy. Where is that card Rochester filled out? We has got to phone him and tell him that we got him a brand new job with a boss that's just the opposite of the chiseler that he's been working for.
Well, I wonder what will happen when Andy and the Kingfish discover that they have sold Jack Benny his own valet, Rochester. We'll find out in a moment. But right now, since we've heard what Officer Howell, our friend from the Rinso ad, had to say on the subject of Rinso white shirts, I think we ought to hear the other half of the story, Mrs. Howell's version. She writes,
"My husband can stop traffic with his whistle, but the wash I hang on my line stops traffic, too, because it's Rinso white. And it isn't only that Rinso gets my clothes so white, it's that it saves me so much time. With three children to look after and a house to take care of, using Rinso is like having a helper at every turn. And Rinso is so easy on my clothes. Those suds get my clothes clean as can be, but they're so easy on fabrics and safe for my washable colors. You bet I wouldn't use anything else."
Now, I guess you're not surprised that Mrs. Howell's favorite song goes like this.
Rinso white, happy little wash day song. Rinso white, birdies sing it all day long. Your clothes are so white and color so bright, you sing as you work along. Rinso white, happy little wash day song.
And now back to Amos and Andy and their guests, Jack Benny and Rochester. Well, Andy and the Kingfish have certainly messed things up through their new employment agency. They've gotten Rochester to resign his job as Jack Benny's valet to take a brand new job as Jack Benny's valet. Of course, the boys don't realize the situation they've created, and we find them now elated over their great success.
Oh, I'm telling you, Andy, this employment agency is great. The very first day we open, we gets a high-priced valet a brand new job.
Yeah, at the rate we're going to need another filing cabinet for all the names of our new clients.
Yeah. Say, by the way, son, don't you think we ought to see if the filing system that we got is functioning?
Functioning? How are we going to do that, Kingfish?
Hey, well, you is in charge of the employees.
Yeah.
And I takes care of the employers.
That's right.
So you take that employee's card that Rochester filled out, and I'll take that card we got from the man who's given him the job.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how the information fits together.
Oh, yeah. Well, say here that he worked for Mr. Benny.
Then I looks at the card I got and finds out the name of the man he is going to work for from now on.
Well, what do it say on that card, Kingfish?
It say that, look like we must have got these cards mixed up here, son. must have got the employee card in the employer file there. Yeah, here, let's switch cards.
Okay.
You give me your card, and you take the one I got.
Yeah, that ought to fix it. Now, what do I look for?
Well, now, let's get a brand new attack on this whole problem here. Now, this time, you tells me the name of Rochester's new boss. You tell me that.
Yeah, well, from what it say on this card, Rochester's new boss is a man by the name of Benny. On the card you got, Kingfish, who is the last man that he worked for?
According to this card, the name of the man is, Let's switch cards again.
What's the matter now? What's the matter?
Well, I ain't sure, but it must be the duplicate filing system we got here. Now, there's only one thing to do. Now, let's turn the cards down on the desk here. Turn them down, face down.
Okay.
Now, clear your mind a minute now. Yeah. And let's start over.
Okay, I was ready here, Kingfish. But somehow I got a feeling about this.
So was I. A sneaking feeling. Benny ain't just no ordinary name, neither, you know.
No, I knows I done seen it somewhere before.
In two places, that's the trouble. Oh, well, there ain't no use of postponing this, Andy. Now, look here. Just turn up one little piece of the corner of the card and look again. Now, take it easy and sneak up on it.
I sneak him. Kingfish.
Yeah.
I see it again.
Brother Andy, I was kind of hates to admit this, but I was afraid that without realizing it, we has just committed industrial bigamy.
Yeah, and since they made that a legal offense, we better get right over and see our lawyer, Gabby Gibson.
And now that we done told you the facts, Gabby, what we wants to know is we really in trouble or is we just in trouble?
Boy, you're in a mess. You're really in a mess. What you done is manslaughter. Yes, indeed, it's manslaughter.
Manslaughter. Oh, me. How you figure that, Gabby?
Well, you messed up the job, this man. When he find out, he gonna slaughter you. That's manslaughter if I ever had it.
Look, Gabby, you as attorney at law, now can't you kind of peek around the corners of the law and see if you can't discover a couple of loopholes?
No, sir, don't think I can. Really, don't think I can. No, sir.
Not even a little one that I could crawl through alone?
Now, wait a minute. Never mind the kingfish. Find a size 42 loophole so I can squeeze through, too.
There's only one way out of this. One way out of this. You got to convince Mr. Benny this man he hired is essential and is frozen in his old job and therefore is not available. Not available.
Now, wait a minute there now. What does this essential mean?
What's this Rochester do? What's his job?
He's a valet.
A valet, huh? Sorry, boy. Sorry. A valet ain't essential. Ain't essential, though, indeed.
Now, hold on there, Gabby. Do you know what a valet do?
Of course I do. Of course I do. A valet dresses people, puts their clothes on.
Yeah, and that ain't essential?
Yeah, you just try going out in the street without your clothes on, you'll find out.
Well, boys, I see what you mean. I really see what you mean. But I doubt if the law covers that. I doubt it covers that.
Yeah, well, exactly what do the law cover? Because if you can tell us about it, I got an idea that we can use it to sort of convince Mr. Benny.
Now, I understand what you say, boys, but how is it the man was available this morning and he's frozen this afternoon? Answer me that.
Yeah, well, you see, Miss Benny, well, you know about Congress, don't you?
Congress?
Yeah, you know, they is down in Washington.
Oh. Then they haven't moved.
Moved? Kingfish, were they supposed to move?
Oh, no, they was lucky enough to get a lease renewed on their old place, yeah.
Now, listen, boys, this is all very interesting, but what has Congress got to do with my new ballot not being available?
Well, Miss Benny, you know Congress. A couple of years ago, they made up a board down there to take care of jobs. It's called the NAOB.
Oh, the NAOB?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of that particular board.
Oh, yeah, no, well, don't make no difference, because just this morning, the NAOB decided to smack the public with a new ruling.
Yeah, that's right. We got it right here. We done copied it out of the book.
That's pretty fast. The ruling is made in Washington this morning, and you copy it out of a book here in New York this afternoon. How come?
Huh? Priorities.
And is there any way I can arrange to read this ruling?
Oh, yes, sir. Here you is, Miss Benny. Got it copied here, identical, verbatim, word for word, and besides that, we didn't change a thing.
There. Let me see here. A guaranteed copy of ruling number 0001. Quote, whereas and wherewithal, we is sitting on this bureau, with not much to do, we is unanimously decided to inaugurate a new ruling on balloting.
Now come the ruling part.
Naturally. A paragiraph one. This law we is resolving is meant for all employers looking to employ, hire, or engage valets, especially and to wit, employers whose last name just happened to begin with the letter B. Small world.
Well, that's only because they does everything in Washington alphabetical, Mr. B.
Well, I'm glad it's at least impersonal, not just aimed at me.
Oh, sure. Well, go ahead. Finish reading the thing.
Yes, I'd love to. Last and final paragiraph. Any person who thinks this law is unconstitutional and wants to check up with the government, this person, hereafter referred to as the stool pigeon, has got to ask permission through this bureau, and the answer is no.
Yeah, them boys down there sure know how to plug up the loopholes, all right.
Yeah, I'm glad there's not much more here. Witness my hand and seal, signed... Hey, wait a minute. Whose signature is that at the bottom of this legal booby trap?
Oh, him. Why, he is the most important man in Washington. He signed all them big things. John Hancock.
Look, boys, forgetting everything else, what this boils down to is you can't produce the ballot you promised me, and I've already fired my old one. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, don't worry about that. That's part of our business. If you just tell us the name of this man that used to work for you, why, we goes out and does our best to get him back for you.
Well, all right, but if you don't have him working for me by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you two are going to be in plenty of trouble, or my name isn't Jack B.
Go on, Kingfish. Read Rochester the last part of the ruling. That's the most important part.
Elucidate, gentlemen, elucidate.
Yeah. Well, this is what it say here, Miss Rochester. Quote, and this law is meant for all valets, especially and to wit all valets whose name just happened to begin with the letter R.
Yeah. So you see, Rochester, according to this new law, we just can't put you in the new job. But we is willing to humiliate ourselves in front of your old boss and get your job back for you.
You mean to say I gotta go back to work for Mr. Benny?
Well, I guess you do.
Well, poverty, move over. Your wandering boy is home again.
Yeah, now, just put our card in your pocket here, Rochester, and as soon as this ruling thing blow over, we can get you a job that pays folding money.
Can't be too soon for me. I've been dreaming of a green Christmas.
Rochester. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss. I'm faced with a financial uncertain Christmas. A Christmas like I've always
known. Rochester, will you please stop that squawking? Do all those things I told you to. Because if you don't, as soon as a certain ruling is changed, I've got a card in my wallet of an employment agency that can get me a high-class ballot, just like that.
And I'm just waiting for another ruling to take a card of an employment agency out of my pocket that will trump your card.
Brother Andy, don't sit there like you was dying.
Oh, Kingfish, we done certainly messed up this employment agency business.
Yeah, now, wait a minute there. No use getting downhearted so soon. Don't give up, Andy. Andy, you was a big executive with a white-collar job.
Yeah, you're right. I is a big executive. And I'm going to keep that in my mind all the time, too. Big executives like me never give up.
See there, Andy? Maybe that's another client. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Come in. Well, Shorty the Barber.
Hiya, Kingfish. Hello, Andy.
Well, Shorty, hello. How's business at the barbershop?
Oh, it ain't so good. I've been losing money. I might go into bankrupt. I just about busted, bro. I can't complain.
Yeah, well, that's fine, Shorty. Long as business is so good with you, maybe us executives can hire you some extra help.
Yeah, well, that's what I come in for. You see, I need a shoeshine boy.
Oh, yeah, well, here, I'll get an application blank right here. Now, Shorty, how much do you pay the shoeshine boy?
Oh, it's the best paying job in the world. He can save a lot of... He'll get rich quick. He can make more than not enough to live on.
No, yeah, I see.
Yeah, but on top of the $10 I pay, the shoeshine boy, he might make another $10 in tips.
$10 in tips, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Shorty, I is glad that you come to big white-collar executives like us. We has got just demand for you.
We is?
Yeah. So long, Kingfish. I'm taking that job myself.
Amos and Andy will be back in just a moment. Meanwhile, let me say that I'd be the last guy in the world to exaggerate. For instance, I wouldn't dream of telling you that when you use Rinso on your dishpan, your dishes march off the supper table, wash themselves, rinse themselves, and stack themselves neatly in the cupboard. But Soapy Rich Rinso will make dishwashing a lot easier than it is with bar soaps. You don't waste time trying to get suds, no sir. Those rich Rinso suds soak grease and crusted food particles loose in a jiffy. A swish of your dish mop and everything is shiny bright and clean as a whistle. And Rinso's easy on your hands, doesn't get them rough and red. So tomorrow, get Rinso for dishes, for all the soap and water jobs around the house, and for a Monday wash that's Rinso white. And now, let's hear what Amos and Andy are talking about.
In other words, Andy, Rochester is going back to work for Mr. Benny, huh?
Yeah, too bad, too. I sure feel sorry for him.
Yeah, that must be a tough job, all right, working for Mr. Benny.
Yeah, Rochester claims it's the only private home in America that's got a swing shift.
Be sure to be with us again next Friday evening at this same time when the makers of Rinso will again present the Amos and Andy Show. Our thanks to Jack Benny and Rochester for being with us tonight. They have appeared through the courtesy of the American Tobacco Company, makers of Lucky Strike cigarettes. This is Harlow Wilcox saying good night to you for all of us.
why is Lifebuoy America's favorite bath soap? I'll tell you two big reasons. Lifebuoy in your daily bath gives all-over protection from B.O. Yes, from head to toe, it stops B.O. And Lifebuoy gives protection that lasts and lasts. So play safe. Make sure Lifebuoy's in your soap dish. It's the only soap especially made to stop B.O.
From November 10th, 1944 on NBC, an episode of Amos and Andy, the Employment Agency. Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll are stars, with special guests Jack Benny and Rochester. Again, no offense intended in presenting that program. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. We present a wide variety of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the Radio Theater, you can do so by email. The address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want more information about the Radio Theater, including detailed show playlists, or if you want to listen to this and previous episodes again, then please head over to our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is Upstate Radio Theater show number 1625. We'll wrap up this hour of old-time radio with an episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Starring actor and singer Dick Powell, the series premiered on NBC in 1949, moving to ABC in 1951. This program is from the ABC era, from March 21st, 1952, episode 127 in the series. The cast also including Virginia Gregg and Alan Reed. It's The Hank Burton Case.
The makers of Camel Cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Another transcribed adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, a pleasant smile, a cheerful rhyme, and we'll keep you from doing time.
Oh.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. Rick, where do you get that cheerful rhyme bit?
You didn't think so?
I didn't think so.
Killjoy.
Why can't you answer the phone like other people do? Just say hello.
You know, I never thought of that.
You should try it sometime. Your prospective clients might think they were dealing with a sane, normal person.
You think it's fair to mislead them?
Oh, Rick. Are you busy?
Silly girl. Busy detectives make money. I just sit at my desk and make conversation with a beautiful redhead.
Well, why don't you leave your desk and come make conversation with said redhead in person?
That's not a bad idea.
I'm all alone.
The idea's getting better.
It's not even noon yet. We can go for a long walk.
Oh.
Well, you don't sound very enthusiastic. What's wrong with taking a walk?
Honey, in my business, I do more legwork than a pair of nylons. Walking just isn't my idea of a ripping good time.
Have you a better suggestion?
You can know me for 5 years and ask questions like that? Oh, now, dear, let's just... Uh-oh, skip it. I am not alone.
A client?
Mm-mm. Shrimp Martin.
Well, I don't think I know him.
Well, that's something to be proud of. Call you later, dear. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Diamond.
Never mind shaking hands, Shrimp. I want to keep my cufflinks.
Ah, you know me, Rick.
Too well. What brings you here, small man?
Strictly business.
Oh, come off it, Shrimp. You don't have enough to hire a bathtub, let alone a detective.
On the level, Rick, I'm here to make you some dough.
Just a big-hearted guy, huh? Okay, spell it.
You heard of Hank Burton.
I read the papers.
Then you read how Hank lifted 50 G's worth of rocks a few months back.
So?
So they're offering an even grand reward for whoever brings Hank in.
What are you getting at?
Just that even thousand is your fee if you'll do the little job.
What?
Now, Hank Burton, he's the one who sent me. He says he'll let you turn him in and collect the grand.
Well, another big-hearted guy. Make yourself clear, Shrimp, and fast.
Burton wants to see you. He wants you to do a legit job for him. He'll pay you for it by letting you turn him in.
Doesn't make sense.
Sure it does. Hank's a sick boy, bad heart condition. If he don't get some hospital care soon, he's a goner. Only as soon as he shows up at a hospital, the cops will nab him. So he might as well give himself up.
And he'll let me be the one to collect the reward for it, huh?
You got it right. That's his way of paying you for the job he wants done.
Just what's the job?
Sorry, I said as much as I know. Except the job is strictly on the up and up. The rest you can hear from Hank himself.
Where do I find him?
I take you to him if you're interested in taking the job.
Shrimp, I'm interested in almost anything that involves $1,000. Only if this deal isn't on the level, I'll ram those buck teeth of yours down your throat.
I tell the truth. I swear it.
Don't bother to cross your heart. I doubt you'd be able to find it. Let's go see Burton. I didn't have any faith in Shrimp Martin, but the thought of 1,000 green pieces of paper did wonders for my bankrupt morale. We took my car, and Shrimp directed me to the warehouse section on Front Street. We parked beside a deserted-looking warehouse, and Shrimp led me inside through a rear door.
He should be here by now. Hank!
Over here, Shrimp.
Behind those boxes over there, Diamond.
Well, I heard him.
Hello, Dan.
Hank, Shrimp tells me you have a deal to make.
Yeah, that's right. Shrimp, go outside. See, we ain't interrupted, huh?
Right.
Sit on one of them boxes, Diamond. I got a lot to say.
I'll stand.
It's up to you.
You look bad, Hank.
Never mind that. Did Shrimp explain the setup?
All except the job you expect in return for handing you over.
Okay. I want you to find a girl, Diamond, that's all.
That could be enough. Who's the girl?
Her name is Lee Thorpe. You find out where she's located now, and I'll let you turn me in.
Uh-huh. Why is it so important you know where this Lee Thorpe is, Hank?
Because if I have to take the rap on that jewelry heist, she takes it with me.
Keep talking.
I met her about 4 months ago. Felt pretty hard. She seemed to go for me, too. We made plans, big plans. And my ticket went bad. She suggested we go to Mexico where I could be taken care of, but that took dough.
So you pulled the jewelry store robbery?
Yeah. It was her idea. She said she knew of a fence where she could change the rocks in the dough and we'd be out of country within a month.
But the deal fell through, huh?
Yeah. I was spotted during the job. I had to hide out. But I sent her the rocks she said to give her away.
I think I can guess what happened.
Ain't hard. When I contacted her a week later, I found out she moved, disappeared. What a sap I was. What a sap.
You were a sap to steal the stones in the first place, Hank.
Okay, no speeches. All I want you to do is locate this dame so the bulls can nab her, too.
Uh-huh. Well, why not go to the police right away, Hank? Tell them the story and let them pick her up.
No. Oh, she's smart. As soon as the word gets out of it and picked up, she'll figure I squeal on her. It'll be harder to find her then.
Mm-hmm. Won't be so easy now. Any idea where she might be?
If I knew, I'd find her myself. You're the gumshoe, get to work. $1,000 ain't bad pay, you know.
No, it's not bad at all. Only how do I know you'll keep the bargain?
Look at me, will you? I'm a dying man unless I get help. Don't worry, I'll let you turn me in. After you find the girl.
All right, Burton, I'll take a chance. Where do I get in touch with you?
You know, I'll call you at your office around 6. Work fast, huh, Diamond? Find her as soon as you can.
Yeah, Hank. As soon as I can. Hank Burton was in a bad way. And if he wouldn't give himself up until Lee Thorpe was located, then it was true she'd have to be found quickly. Hank didn't have much time left. We left the warehouse together. He and Shrimp Martin disappeared down Front Street, and I drove back uptown. At the 5th Precinct, I found that Lieutenant Walt Levinson was out to lunch. But in the meantime, the sergeant let me look through the files.
Well, make yourself right at home, Mr. Diamond.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant. I have.
It's a wonder you're not sitting behind my desk. I'm sure you'd be more comfortable.
Well, now, I might just take you up on that when I get tired.
Fine. Maybe you'd even like one of my uniforms to wear.
Now, Walt, let's not carry the joke too far. When I was on the force, I tried to get into one of your uniforms. It looked like Bonnie Prince Charlie in a raccoon coat.
Just when I need after a nice lunch. You were around to give me indigestion. What are you looking for, anyway?
I found it. File on a girl named Lee Thorpe.
Thorpe. Yeah, I remember her. I used to be married to Davy Thorpe.
Used to be?
Yeah, it's all there in the folder. She split up with Davy maybe 3 years ago when he was sent up.
Davy's still in prison?
Out about a year ago. What do you want this Lee gal for?
Sorry, Walt. Confidential.
Oh, great. I ask a question, you tell me it's confidential, but you think you can walk in here and poke through our files all you please.
Cheer up, Fatty. I'll tell you all about it after I find Lee Thorpe.
Well, now, that's mighty big of you, Mr. Diamond.
Well, think nothing of it, Lieutenant.
I don't. Find anything in the folder?
Not much. She's been picked up on a few minor offenses, that's all. What about Davy, her ex-husband?
Oh, he seems pretty legitimate these days. Running a pool room over on 3rd. Listed in the book as Davy's Billiard Parlor.
That's an original name. Well, I guess I'll go see Davy. Maybe he's seen his ex-wife lately.
Oh, don't rush off, Bright Eyes. Things are so dull around here when you're not poking your nose into our business.
I know, but don't feel bad, Walt. I may be back.
Well, goody, goody gumdrop. I'll have our best cell waiting.
You're such a wonderful host. See you later, Walt. Davy's pool room turned out to be a dingy joint. There were no customers this early in the afternoon, but Davy must not have liked his tables to go to waste. He was playing at a front table all by himself. I walked over to him. Well, nice shot, Davy.
Huh? Oh, want a game, Mac?
I'd rather talk.
This is a pool room, not a conversation club.
It's about your wife, Davy.
I got no wife.
You did have?
Yeah, I had measles once, too, but that don't mean I'm still scratching.
Have you seen Lee recently?
Well, depends on how recent you call recently.
Oh, in the last month or so?
Mm-mm. Seen her when I first got out, close to a year ago. She wants to pick up where we left off.
And?
I told her where to get off. You beat these dames. I get sent up out of circulation for a while. She wants to be free. Then I'm out, she wants to get all chummy again.
Well, maybe you know where she might hang around, Davy.
Yeah, maybe. You a cop?
Private. Well?
Well, what? I'm a businessman, pal. I don't shoot off my mouth for the fun of it.
Will $10 take the fun out of it?
You don't see me laughing, do you? Put the money on the table.
Okay, there you are.
But you're obliged. Yeah, I might know where Lee hangs out. I'm not saying for sure, mind you. Been almost a year since I seen her.
Keep talking.
She always likes bars, lights, people. She used to drag me to a bar all the time.
Any particular bar?
Mm-hmm. The Bluebird Club over on 40th. In fact, that's where I first met her. Oh, excuse me a sec. Hey, take a few shots while I answer that. Hello. Davy's Billiard Parlor. Huh? I don't... Oh, yeah, maybe yes. Hold it. Hey, Shamus. Your name Richard Diamond?
That's right.
That's for you. If you want more out of me, I'll be over in the office.
Thanks. Hello?
Walt, Rick. I took a chance. Figured you'd still be there.
What's up?
Funny, but right after you were here, we got a call about Lee Thorpe. Picked her up right away.
Good boy. I'll be right down. You at the precinct?
Uh-uh. I'm at the morgue.
What?
And don't bother to hurry, Rick. This gal won't be going anywhere. Not now.
At the city morgue, I looked down on the girl who was once called Lee Thorpe and had now become a number. It wasn't a pretty sight, and I wasn't glad to be seeing it.
Okay, Charlie, thanks. Come on, Rick.
Where did you find her, Walt?
One of the beat men came across her in an alley over by 6th Street.
Find the murder weapon?
No, the knife wasn't around, only the holes it made. Yeah, we can sit down in here. You have some talking to do, Rick. No more of this confidential rigmarole.
Okay, Walt. You ask the questions, and I'll answer as best I can.
Number one, why were you looking for the dame?
Client hired me to find her.
Who's the client?
You know, Walt, this is going to sound screwy.
Cut the build-up. Just make with the answer.
Okay, okay. The client is Hank Burton.
Well, at least we... What? Hank Burton?
That's right. Now, sit down, Fatty, and wipe that shocked expression off your face.
Rick, boy, do you happen to know who Hank Burton is? That we've been after him for 2 months?
I know, I know. And if things had gone as I planned, you'd have had him in a cell by tomorrow. I guess I'd better explain, Walt.
Yeah, I think you'd better. And make it good, Rick. Plenty good.
I told Walt about Burton, about the $1,000 fee and Burton's illness. He wasn't happy about the whole thing, but at least he now knew as much about the case as I did, which wasn't much for either of us to know.
So Burton figured the gal gave him the double cross, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's it. He wanted me to find her, just so he could turn her in when he gives himself up.
Maybe and maybe not. Maybe he found her before you did. Maybe he's the one who put those knife wounds in her back.
I doubt it, Walt. If he'd had any idea where she was, he wouldn't have bothered to hire me.
Then why was she killed?
Well, she must have known where $50,000 worth of jewelry was. Good enough reason?
Yeah. Well, what now? You think Burton will still turn himself in after he hears the girl's dead?
I think so. He's pretty sick. Hasn't got a chance on his own.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going back over the neighborhood where we found the girl's body. We figure she lived around there. Maybe we can find out where. It's a start, anyway.
Good. I'll wait for Hank Burton to contact me.
Okay. And, Rick, if you turn up anything, let me in on it this time, huh?
I waited until 6 o'clock in my office, and then Burton called. I didn't tell him about the girl over the phone. Instead, I made a date to meet him an hour later on the Christopher Street ferry. The ferry was in when I arrived at the slip, so I went aboard. I agreed to meet Burton on the lower level port side. I went there, sat down on one of the benches. But 5 minutes later, the ferry pulled out, and there was still no sign of Hank Burton.
Diamond?
Huh?
It's me, Shrimp.
Oh, that's quite a professional way you have of sneaking up on people, friend.
Yeah. Enjoy the ride, Diamond. We go over to Jersey, then we come back. And then we get off.
Where's Burton?
He couldn't make it. Want you to meet him back at the warehouse we met in this morning.
Oh, great. Why didn't you get here before we pulled out?
I tried. Not as fast as I used to be.
Uh-huh. Now, tell me, Shrimp. Just why couldn't Hank make it here? It's as safe as that warehouse.
Oh, well, he's sick. He's feeling bad. He felt bad all day.
Oh, it didn't sound so bad when I talked to him on the phone.
But he was sick. He was. Real pain. He could never make it down here. Let's enjoy the ride, huh?
Let's talk some more first. If Burton knew he was too sick to meet me here, why did he suggest it in the first place?
How should I know? Hank says we come to the warehouse, we go to the warehouse. Don't ask him any questions.
Oh, I just have an inquisitive nature. I like answers, Shrimp.
Okay. How's this for an answer?
Wow. Little man with a big gun.
That's right. And the gun says we go to the warehouse. Now settle back and enjoy the ride.
It was the most uncomfortable boat ride I'd taken in years. Shrimp put the gun back in his pocket, but kept it pointed toward me. The ferry finally returned to the New York side, and we got off. Then we drove back to Front Street and parked beside the warehouse.
Okay, Diamond, in the back door.
Well, stop waving the gun back and forth, Shrimp. You'll wear yourself out.
No cracks. Go on. Open the door.
Where's Burton?
Same place, over behind those boxes. Move.
I still don't get it, Shrimp. Why wouldn't Hank come to the ferry, and why the artillery to make sure I came here?
That's far enough. I'll light this candle, Diamond. Maybe you'll get your answer then.
Well, that's better. At least I... Uh-oh.
See what I mean, Shamus?
Yeah, Shrimp. I see what you mean. Hank Burton wasn't bothered by his heart anymore. He lay there on the floor with a stupid expression on his face that the sudden dead often wear. His eyes were open in a bewildered stare, and his teeth were clenched tight. Hank Burton had died quickly, without warning. And it looked like I was next in line.
Surprise, Diamond?
You didn't bring me here for a reaction, Shrimp.
Uh-huh. I just get a kick out of seeing your face.
Yeah. Good old Shrimp, the loyal friend. Hank trusted you. Oh, that was a big mistake.
Hank was a sap. I stuck with him because I thought he'd get his hands on them rocks again. Then I'd get a split.
Only Hank didn't want the stuff back, huh? He was going to let me turn him in, and that left you out in the cold.
You got it right. When I knew he was sicking you onto the dame, I went to the guy who really has the stones.
Yeah, I figured there was someone else in this. You're not brave enough to try something like murder alone.
He does very well at it, Diamond, believe me.
Well, Pool Hall Thorpe, little Davy. You're a long way from your pool room, pal.
There's more profitable things than pool rooms, Diamond.
So it would seem. Like handling stolen jewelry.
Uh-huh. You sure no one followed you, Shrimp?
Positive.
Good. I'm sorry about this, Diamond, but you'll have to join Hank before long.
Yeah, I'll bet you're sorry. You were sorry when you killed your ex-wife, too, huh? Real sweet guy. She brings you the stones, and you pay her back with a knife.
Well, what could I do? Shrimp tells me there's a detective looking for her. Well, he was a good kid, but she didn't have much knife. She'd have talked her head off if you'd found her.
I see. But why Hank and now me?
Well, look at it this way. We finish you with the same knife that killed Lee. Then we put the knife in Hank's hand and the gun that killed him in yours.
Oh, that's really great. Davy, I'm afraid you've been reading pulp fiction.
So the cops get wise sooner or later. It'll still give us time to get far away. Shrimp, you got the knife?
Right here, Davy.
Okay. We stall long enough, Shrimp.
By candlelight yet, huh, fellas? Well, this is real romantic.
Yeah, ain't it, though?
Only not quite enough. It's even more romantic with a candle out. Shrimp! Davy!
Shrimp! Shrimp!
He's taking a little nap, Davy, and I've got his gun.
What?
It's too bad, Davy. You should have stuck to your pool room. Okay, Shrimp, get to your feet.
Diamond.
Oh, shut up. Come on.
Oh, my head.
Shrimp, I made you a promise this morning. I said either this deal with Hank was on the level or your buck teeth were going down your throat.
Oh, no, look, Diamond.
Oh, shut up. Now, you know the old saying, Shrimp. See your dentist twice a year.
Huh?
Well, you won't have to worry about that now, friend.
Rick?
Yes, Helen, dear?
It's nice outside.
If you're wearing a fur coat, it is.
Oh, it's not really cold. Besides, you have a heavy coat.
Helen, are you hinting that I should leave?
Uh-huh. With me. I'd still like to go for that walk.
Oh, no.
Well, why not? The only time I see you is after a case. Then you just drop in, seat yourself at the piano, and take it easy.
But, honey, I'm tired.
Well, I'm not. I've been in all day, and I could use the exercise.
Exercise, you want, huh? Well, I got a good idea. I'll chase you around the piano.
It's your idea of exercise, huh?
No, but just think of the fun we're going to have after I caught you.
No. Rick, I'm serious. Just look out that window. Oh, stop shivering. Look at that moonlight. Isn't it romantic?
What chances to give the Dodgers this year?
Long walk. Just you and me.
And the Giants. Now, there's a hot ball team. Hmm?
Maybe over to Central Park.
And the Arkansas Aggies. Oh, they'll be fighting all the way.
Hand in hand. We get Arkansas Aggies.
Yeah, yeah. My old home team.
Richard Diamond, you are the most unromantic man in town.
Helen, how can you say that? Don't I build a nice fire in the fireplace?
I could get a Boy Scout to do that.
Here we are, a fire, lights down low, a nice romantic song. And your idea of romance is a walk.
Well, after all, Hey, where does that nice romantic song come in?
Right about now.
Well, couldn't you sing while we walk?
Oh, sorry, honey. Throw another log on the fire. Keep my golden memories aglow. I don't see the face of my loved one when the logs are burning low. Throw another log on the fire. Bring back all the sweetest days I've known, when our hearts were young in the springtime and her love was mine alone. Now there's nothing left but the embers. Springtime seems so long ago. Throw another log on the fire. Keep my golden memories aglow.
That was very nice. But I still didn't like it.
Oh, that's a brilliant statement.
I still want to go for a walk.
Millions of girls in New York, and I had to pick a nature lover.
Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Dick Carr, with music by Frank Worth. Virginia Gregg was heard as Helen Asher, and Alan Reed as Lieutenant Walt Levinson. Others in the cast were Junius Matthews, Tony Barrett, and Ted DeCorsia. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Be sure to listen to another great Camel show, Vaughn Monroe and the Camel Caravan, every Saturday night. Listen next week for another exciting adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Now stay tuned for This Is Your FBI, followed immediately by Ozzie and Harriet over most of these stations.
From March 21st, 1952, on the American Broadcasting Company, an episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, Dick Powell, our star, in the Hank Burton case. Richard Diamond was revived as a series on television in 1957. It ran on CBS and then the NBC television network, beginning in 1957, as I said, running through 1960. The cast for the television series included David Jansen and Mary Tyler Moore. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.